Little Saints, again, thank you for your preparation and presentation for us this morning. It just providentially, the sermon this morning is for you, Little Saints. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll just read the first three verses. Ephesians chapter 6. I'll begin reading at the first verse. These are the words of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Through the death and merits of our Savior Jesus Christ, you have made us your sons and your daughters. Father, we're thankful for the gift of children. We're thankful for the gift of family. We're thankful for the gift of our mothers and our fathers. Father, we pray that one more time you would open our eyes to see wondrous things in your word. Take your word, seal it on our hearts, that we may walk forever with you in joy, for we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. So again, little saints, this sermon this morning is for you. It's true every week, but it's especially true this week, because Paul addresses, look at that first word there in chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So Paul has, in previous weeks, he's addressed himself to wives. He's addressed himself to husbands. And now when he gets to this part of his letter to the Ephesian church 2,000 years ago, he singles out children. He is addressing children. So again, this is, it's not that the sermons that you hear from week to week are not for you. They are for you, but we would just say that this morning this sermon is especially for you. We're constantly amazed, little saints, what you're able to take in, even though you are hearing week after week words that you may not understand, spoken to you in ways that you may not understand, but there is something that really, well, it's supernatural. It is divine that is happening here. We know that the Word of God is quick and powerful, it is active, and it is able to penetrate our hearts, and not just because we can understand all the words that are being read and sung and preached to us, but God's Word is truly powerful. So again, it's true every week, but it's true especially this week. Many, many years ago, when we were homeschooling our kids, Ellen took it upon herself to teach our kids Latin, and so with our older kids, she would sit them down about 5 days a week, and run them through the Latin chants and teach them Latin vocabulary. And our youngest son, Jason, would be just sitting on the floor somewhere playing with Legos, okay? And so she wasn't really trying to teach him. He's playing Legos, and she's directing her attention to Josiah and to Rachel. So, but we were amazed later on at how much he was able to absorb as he sat there on the basement floor or the living room floor, and just hearing the things that were being taught at the table, they were getting into his little mind and was able to say the chants and was able to learn the vocabulary. And so, again, one of the things that we do here at King's Cross Church, and it's not by accident, it's by design, is that, little saints, we want you here with us every week, as soon as you are able. We do provide nursery in the back there for the little saints. But we want you here with us, sitting beside us, as you hear together with us God's Word read and sung and preached to you. We're confident that it is going into your bones every time you hear it. So again, it's true every week, but it's especially true this week because Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So we want to look at these three verses just under three headings this morning. Okay, identity, duty, and bounty. Identity, duty, and bounty. Little saints, I want you to say those words with me right now. Identity, duty, and bounty. One more time. Identity, duty, and bounty. Okay, here we go. Okay, first of all, identity. What does that mean? Well, that's who you are. What is your place? What is your status in God's kingdom? Okay, as you hear me say many times from this pulpit right here, in God's kingdom, identity always precedes duty. Okay, God never commands us to do anything without first reminding us of who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this command right here is no different than that. If we went back to the beginning, the very beginning of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he wrote this. He said, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul begins this letter, okay, to all those Christians who are gathering together, all those moms and dads and children, okay, husbands and wives, male, female, slave, free, Greek, Jew, all of these people that were gathering together as the church of God. And then he calls them, and this is very important. Kids, give me your eyes here right now. This is really important. Okay, if you don't get anything else this morning, remember this. Okay, Paul addresses you as saints, not someday saints. Paul says, I'm writing this letter to the saints who are in Ephesus. And then again, so he talked to the husbands who were saints. And then he talked to the wives who were saints. And now he is talking to the children, and he's not changing it. He's not saying, now I'd like to address myself to those people who will someday be saints. Children, he says, you're saints today. You are saints today. And so again, he starts with your identity. You are a saint. And as he goes on here, okay, you are a saint. You are a recipient of divine grace and peace given to you by God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Wow, right? Okay, that's who you are, and that's what God has already done for you. He has given you grace. He has given you peace. Something that I occasionally hear, and I'm not easily tempted with anger, and I'm thankful for that, okay? But this is something that just kind of gets me going. Okay. Sometimes I'll be talking with somebody and they'll say this thing, and it sounds really nice to begin with. They say, you know, children, we really need to invest ourselves in the children. I go, okay, so far, so good. You know, because, you know, children are the future church. Do you know why that makes me mad, kids? Okay. We need to invest ourselves in our kids. We need to invest ourselves in our children. Why? Because they are the future church. No. Well, yes, but they are also the church today. Okay, Paul says, I'm writing this letter to the saints that are in Ephesus, the husbands who are saints, the wives who are saints, and now the children who are present tense saints, not future someday saints. Paul says, you're saints today. God always, 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 always begins with identity before he proceeds to duty. And his charge to children, chapter 6, verse 1, is no different. He says, you are now, you are presently saints. In his letter to the Corinthian church in chapter 7, Paul assures those Corinthians 2,000 years ago that if those children were born to at least one believing parent, okay, either a believing mom or a believing dad, he says that they were, and he calls them this specifically, he says they're hagios, they are saints, they are holy. Not someday holy, not someday saints, Paul says they are today holy by virtue of the fact that they were born into a believing family. So there's identity. Kids, say this with me again, identity, duty, and bounty. Okay, so let's take a look at duty. Okay, the duties that Paul prescribes here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. So the duties that Paul describes here, okay, are obey and honor. Obey and honor. First, let's look at obey. Kids, I want you to say this with me right now, okay? Obey right away. Obey all the way.
Obey all the way.
Obey with a cheerful heart.
Obey with a cheerful heart.
All the way.
All the way.
Right away.
Right away.
With a cheerful heart.
With a cheerful
Okay, I want you to put your fingers up right here. Okay, say, all the way. Right away. With a cheerful heart. One more time. Right away. All the way. With a cheerful heart. Okay, I think you got it. Okay, let's take those one at a time. Right away. You guys sang the wonderful story about Let My People Go this morning. It's a great story. And but there were problems after the deliverance from Egypt, weren't there? Okay, so God rescues his people out of the slavery of Egypt, and then he takes his people right up to the edge of the promised land, this land that God said, I'm going to take you in there, I'm going to give you this land, I'm going to give you victory over these enemies. And Israel said, great. And so they sent 12 spies into the land to spy out the land. And when the 12 spies went into the land, they said, oh no, there are very large people living in walled cities. And so they went back to Moses and the rest of Israel, and Moses said, well, what did you guys see? And they said, we can't take the land. Well, why not? 10 of the spies said, we can't take the land because those people are very large, and they live in walled cities, and we'll never be able to do it. And Joshua and Caleb said, no, we should go. God said that he would give us the land. God said that he would give us victory. And so, yeah, they're big people and they live in walled cities, but if God is on our side, then it's going to be okay. But the people listened to the report of the 10 faithless spies, and they did not go into the promised land that God had promised to give them. Okay? And then something else happened. God put those 10 faithless spies to death. He killed them for their faithlessness. Now that did something to change the attitude of Israel, because the next day they went to Moses and they said, oh, okay, we changed our mind, okay? We know that God wanted us to go into the promised land, and yesterday we know that we said no, but today we're saying yes. And Moses looked at them and said, that's not going to work, okay? See, obedience to God's command, that was yesterday. And guess what? It has an expiration date. Yesterday. Because delayed obedience, children, give me your eyes. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Okay? Obey God. Okay, say this with me. Right away. All the way. With a cheerful heart. Okay? Delayed obedience. Israel said, okay, we'll obey God tomorrow. And God said, no. And Moses warned them. He said, you know, don't do this thing. Don't go in there and don't go to war against the Amalekites. Israel did, and they were horribly defeated as they waged war against the Amalekites and against the Canaanites. Okay. So first thing about obedience is it's right away. True obedience is right away obedience. Secondly, right away, all the way, okay? Because partial obedience is disobedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, we read the story again of Israel. The prophet Samuel went to King Saul, and he said, okay, this is what I want you to do. Okay, the wickedness of the Amalekites is so horrible that I want you to go to war against them, and I want you to kill all of the Amalekites. And that's hard for us to understand today, because it's hard for us to understand the horrible, horrible wickedness of some of those nations that God commanded Israel to destroy. Okay? We don't have that command today, but they did back then. And so King Saul went to battle against the Amalekites, and he killed most of them, but not all of them. God had even commanded King Saul to kill all of the animals. He said, don't leave even any of the animals. And so Saul went, and he didn't kill all of the Amalekites. And he didn't kill the animals. And so now the prophet Samuel came to King Saul, and he said, well, did you do what God told you to do? And King Saul said, I sure did. Yes, I did. In obedience to what God said, I went out there and I did what he said. And Samuel said, well, that's strange. Well, I hear sheep bleating. Bah. I hear cows lowing. Moo. Okay. And God specifically told you to kill all of the Amalekites, even the animals, so why do... And Saul said, well, that's a good question. Okay, I have an answer for that. See, we we saved all of those animals to offer them up as a sacrifice to God. And Samuel said, no, King Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen to God than the fat of rams. Okay? Now, Saul is trying to say, well, I obeyed God. And Samuel said, well, but you didn't obey God all the way. Okay? And partial obedience is disobedience, because biblical obedience means all the way obedience, right away obedience, all the way obedience. Think about this, kids. If your mom or dad says, okay, what I want you to do is I want you to go pick up your clothes right now, and I want you to put away your toys right now, and you do that the next day, is that obedience? No, it's not, okay? Because obedience is right away obedience. If you picked up some of your clothes and some of your toys, would that be obedience? No, okay? Would you say this with me again? Biblical obedience is right away? All the way? With a cheerful heart. Okay? True obedience is all the way obedience. Now, with a cheerful heart, I'm going to read this out of Numbers chapter 10. Listen carefully. And whenever the ark set out, Moses said, arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, to the 10,000s of Israel. And the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outlying parts of the camp. Okay? So God gave his people a command. He said, okay, I want you to keep your eye on the ark. And if the ark ever begins to move, then I want you to move with the ark. And then if the ark ever stops, then I want you to stop right where the ark stops. And I want you to camp there for a little while. Now what's interesting in this passage here is that Israel was doing that. Okay, when the ark moved, Israel moved. And when the ark stopped, the ark stopped. And so they could go before God and they could say, see, God, we're obeying you right away. Okay? We followed the ark. And we were obeying you all of the way, because when the ark stopped, we stopped. And when it moved, and then it moved. But it says here that they complained. And the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outlying parts of the camp. Okay? So they obeyed right away. They obeyed all the way, but they didn't obey. Help me out, kids, with a
true heart.
They didn't, okay? And God was not pleased, because grumpy obedience is disobedience. Now, let's go back to picking up your clothes and picking up your toys, just as an example here. So your mom says, honey, I want you to go into your room, and I want you to put away your clothes, and I want you to pick up your toys, okay? And then you give your mom a really dirty look, and you walk into your room stomping your feet, and she can hear you back there throwing the clothes around, picking up the toys, making grumpy noises the whole time. Did you obey your mom?
No.
No. Because, help me out here, biblical obedience is right away, all the way, with a cheerful heart. Okay. So, identity, duty, and now bounty. Say those words with me again. Identity,
duty,
bounty.
See,
bounty just means reward. Listen to what the author of Hebrews says in chapter 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Okay? So, the author of Hebrews reminds us that it's impossible to please God apart from faith. Amen. But he says also here that we have to believe, this is wonderful, but we have to believe that God loves to reward those who seek him. Our Heavenly Father loves us, and he loves to reward us when we seek him. It's true of all obedience to God, but especially with the command to honor and obey our parents. Because Paul says here, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. He's actually quoting from the fifth command of the Ten Commandments. Okay? So he says, obey your parents, Honor your parents, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. This is, this is a great promise. And it reminds us here that everything God commands us to do, including obeying and honoring our parents, he commands for our good. In other words, he intends it to be a blessing to us. And what is this reward? Kids, your mom and dad, every adult, every faithful adult will tell you that it is a very difficult thing to learn how to obey and how to walk with God. Okay? But God in his kindness, okay, puts you kids in school, okay? Your home, your family, your relationship with your mom and dad is a school so that you can learn not only to obey your mother and father, but also to obey your heavenly Father. Every faithful adult will tell you, your mom and dad will tell you this, your grandpa and grandma will tell you this, I will tell you this if you'll let me, okay? That very often God asks me to do hard things. Very often God asks me to do things that I don't particularly want to do, and I have learned and am still learning as an adult, even as a pastor, what it is to follow God, what it is to obey God right away, all the way, with a cheerful heart. The blessing that God has for you, kiddos, okay, is that as you learn to obey your mother and father all the way with a cheerful heart, God is at the same time teaching you how to obey him right away, all the way, with a cheerful heart. And that, I promise you, will return blessing upon blessing upon blessing back into your life. Paul says again, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. He also says here, notice he says honor. This word means to assign a value to something or someone. Kids, I know that your parents are not perfect. I wasn't a perfect parent. There is no such thing as a perfect parent. And I know that your parents often, regrettably, too often, maybe act in ways that are not honorable. But God tells you to honor your parents just the same, okay? To assign a value to them. And I would encourage you to do this when you're tempted to think otherwise, to honor your mother and father, to value your mother and father, not simply for who they are, but for the sake of him who gave them to you. You know, it's kind of weird, but the parents that God chose for us are the exact right parents for us. And he says, I want you to honor them and to obey them. It doesn't hang up anymore, but for many, many years, above my desk at my home study at our Kittitas house, there hung a little fish. It was made out of lined notebook paper and maybe three rolls of scotch tape and an orange marking pen, okay? And it kind of looked like a fish. I hung it over my desk, and I'll tell you why, because it was presented to me one day. Now again, what is the intrinsic value of that fish? Well, some lined notebook paper, some scotch tape, and some orange ink. And I still have it, I value that fish. If you would have come to me and said, oh, that's a nice fish, I'll give you $100 for that, I would have said, it's not for sale. So, well, I'll give you $1,000 for that. I would have said, no, it's not for sale. Maybe $10,000. Okay, but why was that little fish so valuable to me? I was studying out in my study one day, and Jason, my youngest son, you know, probably about six, seven years old, knocks on my door, and he had this little thing that he'd been working on all morning, and he said, Pop, I made this for you. I just want you to know how much I love you. Okay. the value that I assigned to that fish was not the value of the notebook paper and the scotch tape. The value of that fish was all about the one who gave it to me and why he gave it to me. Kids, give me your eyes here. Okay? God gave you your mom and dad. Handpicked them for you. Out of all the parents that he could have given to you, he gave you your particular mom and dad. And he says, I want you to honor them. I want you to value them, not because of their intrinsic worth, but rather on the basis of him who gave them to you and said, here they are. I love you. Okay. Just a couple words of application here this morning. Learn the lessons of obedience now so that you can begin to exercise wisdom with your parents as you grow until you stand with them as their friends, counselors, and helpers. There's an interesting progression as God grows us up. Okay. First is that priesthood stage when we just learn to obey everything that he has commanded. And then secondly, as we begin to exercise the wisdom that he builds into us in that process. And then later on, as prophets, we gather to God with as members of his council, as his counselors. Okay, kids, when you're young, you need to learn those priestly lessons and learn to obey everything that your mom and dad ask you to do, unless they ask you to do something contrary to what God has revealed. And then secondly, then you're going to move into that stage where you're now exercising wisdom with your parents as you make important decisions about your life and such. And then someday, as you come into your adulthood, you will stand with your parents. And I'm so thankful for our four kids that are now not just our sons and our daughters, but our friends and very often our counselors are able to teach us things, are able to help us figure out things that we can't see on our own. When you have a hard time obeying and honoring your parents, start where Paul started to those children in Ephesus 2,000 years ago, your identity in Christ, okay? Kids, in those minutes when it's hard to obey your mom and dad right away, all the way with a cheerful heart, okay, the first thing that you need to say, you need to remind yourself is, okay, who am I? Well, God says that I am a saint and a partaker in grace and peace from God the Father and his Son, my Savior, Jesus Christ. And then, and only then, to ask God for the grace to live in a way that shouts your identity to others. At home, in our garage, we have a ski boat we've had for 18 years now. We call them Buster Boat. Kids, I got a question for you, okay? If I took Buster Boat down to Confluence Park and unloaded Buster Boat in the middle of a grass field down there, do you think my boat would work very well?
No.
Why not? I mean, it's down
at...
Well, I know, but it's at the park, isn't it? I got the boat, I got the park. Why isn't that a good... Oh, the water. Okay. So when I put the boat on the grass, it doesn't work very well because the boat wasn't made to go on the grass. The boat was made to go in the water. So Buster Boat works the best when he's in the water. And you, little saint, were created to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's what it means to be a saint. You were created by God to enjoy him and to glorify him forever and ever and ever. So the first thing that you do when it's hard to obey your mom and dad, the first thing you do is you're reminded of who you are. Okay, I'm a saint, a partaker of God's grace and his peace. And then say, okay, now God, I need your help to do the things that are consistent with that. I need your help to do the things that show everyone that I am a saint, a blood-bought saint, a child, a son, or daughter of God for Jesus' sake. Little saints, you were made by God to glorify and enjoy him as you obey and honor your parents, okay? Help me out now with biblical obedience. Say this with me. Biblical obedience is right away, all the way, with a cheerful heart. Okay, one more time. Right away, all the way, Cheerful heart. Let's pray.